Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about choices and the best way to choose. I'll explain. Actress that I know was talking to me about a scene. She's a good friend and was asking me, say, hey, what do you think of this scene? What do you think's going on here? Just my basic input, you know, what I would say. And not that she needed my help. She's very capable, but she wondered what I had to say. I read the scene. It's a therapist who has been dealing with what I get as a younger man. I'm going to guess they're around 18, maybe to 20. Maybe they're a little younger. And the deal is the parents have been paying for this therapy, and the kid is just an entitled brat, and this therapist is going to give him the heave-ho, is basically in the scene saying, look, you take advantage of your parents. I'm like, you know, she's had it. So what did I think? Well, the first thing I said was, well, listen, this is kind of a big deal. This scene is a big deal. I always like to take these things and take them right to real life and say, okay, let's say this were real life. Let's say this was your life. And you are a therapist, and you are now going to go tell this kid that you can't take him anymore. So I always want to talk about it this way when I'm dealing with an actor. I say, let's think about that. You know, people hate confrontations. We hate having to fire people, let people go, break up with people. All that stuff is just, it's nauseating for most of us. And so we never do, and we put up with crappy relationships and bad friendships forever because we don't want to, you know, have a confrontation. But you're a professional therapist. The time has come. You have to drop the hammer. You know, I'd imagine the night before you didn't necessarily get a lot of sleep, or it was uncomfortable. You probably thought about it on the drive-in. Why? Well, if your real mission and you're actually good at what you do is to help people, well, looks like you weren't able to crack this nut. And the person was resisting and not wanting to and being smart and entitled and spoiled. And you're trying to help this person. His parents are trying to help this person. Everyone's trying to help this person but the person. And how frustrating that must be as a professional who really cares about what you do. And then having to tell the kid this and the irritation and, you know, all sorts of things that we could certainly conjure and justify and use. And it seems to me that a scene like that between these two people would have a certain amount of snap, crackle, pop just inherently in what I've described. Wouldn't you agree? I said all of that in a very short phrase to this actor. And then she came back with, yes, I know that, but what about this? And then she listed some, you know, other factors. A few other things. And she offered up some very interesting choices, which you would use essentially in addition to this one conflict that was going to be in the scene that was going to happen, and that's the dismissal of this arrogant, entitled kid. And so she was saying, yes, maybe she could be nervous or anxious, a fed-up woman. She could be a tired, hormonal, fed-up woman. She could be hungover, just had sex with a partner and came to work in a hot mess and was fed up with him, this young fellow. So she offered these things, and so it got me thinking about how the actor works and how we think and what we do with choices. And being that there is a cornucopia of things that you could come up with, that you could create to give you what we would, I guess, the actor would be looking for, a more dense, a more interesting, a more multi-layered performance. You know, what are these choices that are in orbit around us? Which ones can we choose, and how do we know? Well, the one thing that I know I've thought a lot about, because I've been a director and a writer and a producer, is story. I think about the story. So the first thing I would think about when given a bunch of options as to what we might layer in is, well, what's the story? Is it a story about a young man who is entitled and spoiled, and no matter what anyone does for him, he's just a turd? Is that the story? Or is it a story about a guy who, yes, has those problems, but the therapist also has her problems, trouble at home, hormonal problems, you know, hungover, whatever their own personal situation, malady is. Is that a part of the story? If that's what the story is, then you can use it. You can use any choice like that. But here's the problem, you see. We have to be clear what the story is we're telling. Now, if the story is, okay, so we have this kid who has all these problems, but, you know, the therapist isn't the easiest therapist, the best therapist. The therapist has her own issues. We could then reason as the audience that, well, maybe the guy didn't really deserve to be ejected. It was exacerbated by the character of the therapist because she was having her own problems. That's one story. Here's another one. This kid is the same misfit, and everyone is working very, very hard for this kid, and no matter what they do, the kid is just too self-destructive. They gave him every chance in the world, and he just couldn't. If that's the story, it's a different story. You know, recently I saw, finally, My Beautiful Boy. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, but I assume everyone's seen it. I'm probably one of the last ones to see it, but I saw it. And I love this thing between Timothée Chalamet and Steve Carell, of course, the mains in the thing. And I thought it was interesting, the storytelling of it, that they made sure that they took us back in time and showed the relationship, particularly of the father and the son, the young Timothy and the younger Steve Carell, and showed the dynamic of that and how it worked out. And what it generally showed us was they were really a fun couple. They were a fun pair. They got along, you know, by and large. This dad, he was a good man. There was a divorce in the family, but a remarriage with a very grounded, lovely new lady and upbringing nice, certainly upper middle class. There was never any need to want something. They wanted to make that clear to us because, you see, the story there was sometimes you can have what most would consider a perfect environment and bring the kid up with love and everything you should, and that kid can still be predisposed to fall into drugs and not be able to get out and just have one horrible situation after another. We can look at something like this and think, you know, sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. And you can't trace it back to something you did wrong or the way the kid was brought up. You see, that's that story. And in that sense, it felt so hopeless and sad at times because you thought, man, sometimes you just can't do anything about it and it's not your fault. It was an interesting story for that reason. It's a different story if they show us in the, you know, past that the father was an alcoholic and, you know, he was always bringing hookers home or he, punished the kid in a weird way. And you see, then the kid's calamity, we see it differently. We feel differently about it. Well, they kind of created this problem, didn't they? And now, you know, it's a different story. It's no better, no worse. It's just a different story. My point is that when you're going to make a choice, we can't just think as actors with regard to what would layer my performance, what will give me more to think about, what will make it more interesting, where will I have more conflict in what I'm doing. Yeah, all well and fine. But it has to pertain to the story that we are telling collectively, and it has to enhance the story, move the story forward. It should bring value to the story. You know, you can come up with choices that actually have to do with the actual problem. The kid's the problem, no matter what we do. So then you say, well, let's say you did more. Let's say you moved clients around to take this kid. Let's say that you made a promise to the parents to take care of this kid. Let's say it's something that has to do with the fact that no matter what we did, this kid was on a self-destructive course. Well, in that realm, we could come up with whatever we want, as long as that's what it is. But understand, if on the other hand, we just create a calamity, a conflict that has to do with the person, just the therapist, what happens is now, is we're kind of undermining our story a little bit, you see. were saying, yeah, the kid's bad, but, you know, this therapist was no help. The best way to make the proper choice is to make a valid choice that always has to do with the story. What is the story? Break it down into the simplest idea of what it's about. And then think about what you're doing and think, does that enhance that storyline or does it in any way take away any power from that storyline? And on watching my beautiful boy, the storytellers there went out of their way to show that sometimes, no matter what you do, no matter how much love, money, psychiatry, care you throw at a situation in your life, no matter how hard you try to bring up a kid with all of the right tools, and you're there all the time, sometimes these things just come off the tracks and then there's nothing you can do. That to me right there was what made that film so powerful to me. You felt helpless, just like his family did watching this. It just felt so unnecessary, yet there it was, making Timothy such a lovely young man with so much potential, and this happened, you see. So in those choices, we think, well, what would make this story stronger? Well, if he was talented and lovable and he, you know, had a great parent and he had a good upbringing and he could have basically anything he wanted, the world was his oyster. And with all those things, you couldn't really see the flaw, but there was a flaw there. There was a hole that he was trying to fill. What was the hole? What created the hole? We don't even know. It's so frustrating. He doesn't know. No one knows. There's nothing you can trace it back to, you see. Now, if we had changed that story at all, as I mentioned, if we made the father destructive, if there was something, was some sexual thing that occurred to the kid when he was young, and we take and we say, oh, well, if not for that, if not, and then it becomes a different story. So we need to be clear, what is the story? What are we trying to say? And if I'm going to make a choice, is the choice I'm making going to help tell that story, support that story, drive that story forward, enhance that story? Then that's a great choice. Hey, I'm all for turning up the heat, man. I tell actors that all the time, is that, look, you know, anytime we can get the needle to go way up and then the needle to go way down during the course of a show, that's great. Man, if there's an argument, let's make it a big one. If there's a problem, let's make it a big one. Why? Well, because you want the show to spike the whole time, up, down, everything going. That's how you keep an audience's attention. You know, a lot of times actors will be acting and they're real and they just feel like they're so authentic. Yeah, okay, that's great. Look, real. But we got a bunch of people who also have lives, who have trying to take a moment out, who've got, you know, a babysitter, they're thinking about thing tomorrow, this, that, I'm hungry. You know, you got to grab the audience by their throats and get them to pay attention, particularly in this day and age, as our attention spans and the just the opportunities to see different things. You know, you want to tell a story, you want to get people, you want to make sure you pull them in and get them. So if there's ever an opportunity, a good one, I'm not just saying, hey, let's yell in this scene for no reason. If there's an argument, let's see how far we can go with it within the structure of the story, what's happening with it. We don't do things just to create fireworks, but, you know, what are the lows? What can we do? What is fast? What is slow? You know, you always want to mess with these things. And I'm all for finding ways to look at a scene, choices we can make that would perhaps enhance the, you know, the pyrotechnics of storytelling, of course, always. But the rule is, it has to enhance and move our story forward in some way. It has to have to do specifically with the story that we are telling. What that is, that's what we have to do. So is it the young fellow's shortcomings that gets him ejected from the therapist's office? Is it the therapist's shortcomings that then kind of create a situation which makes it happen? Is it all the therapist, the wayward therapist, the therapist in crisis that's having his or her own problems and just decides to eject a kid who really needs a little help and just needed a little push, but we have no, you know, temperament for that right now. We have no patience for that right now. Is that what the story is? We have to be clear about what the story is, and then we can do whatever we want with regard to choice as long as we follow the rule. That, to me, is what good storytelling is. Then you can do whatever you like. You can come up with whatever you like as long as it follows those basic rules. Now, I think that makes perfect sense to you guys. Doesn't it? Anyway, that's today's sermon. I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on a variety of platforms, including Pandora, Spotify, Podomatic, iTunes, Verbal, and many more. Please tell your friends. And if you like what you've been hearing, please remember to hit the like button and subscribe. You'll be the first to know when the next one comes out. And if you haven't read my book, The Real Life Actor, you can find it on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. Thanks so much for listening.